very important lesson today, and that has to do with listening to what the Lord speaks to our heart. And the Lord spoke to Jacob. And for many of us, actually, we don't know how this actually works. How does the Lord speak to our heart? How do we know is the Lord speaking to our hearts? It's something that can and should be learned and learned well. And I hope that it will mean something to you. All right, so let's pray and prepare our hearts for a time of worship today. Our Father, we pray that you will teach us how we can do just that. Right now, there's a few moments before the prelude starts. We pray that you will teach us how to learn to be still. And later on, when we pray again and again, teach us how to learn how to be sensitive to you. We pray that you will prepare our hearts right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, enjoy the prelude. Well, today we are going to learn something very, very special, and I hope that it will speak to your heart much. If you were to look back into the Genesis, it's been a long, long time since the Lord spoke to Jacob. Not because he didn't want to speak to Jacob, but Jacob's not listening. That's the problem. And so now we come to the 46th chapter, you begin to realize the Lord has to pick up the threads all over again. What's our challenge? How do we listen to the voice of God? Now that is going to be a big challenge for us today. A lot of people don't know how to do this. But if you learn this from young, it's going to stay with you the rest of your life. I hope that you will learn. And you'll find constantly the Lord will be there to tell you, this is the way to walk in it. Right, left, the Lord will be there. And it's a very, very vital lesson. Well, Joseph learned this lesson. Jacob had forgotten. Can we forget? Oh, yes. Can we learn again? Yes, too. And I hope that it will be a special time of learning. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that you would speak to our hearts at all. Teach us how to understand it, appreciate this special and precious relationship. Teach us how we can actually understand what you're saying to us, and then teach us how to respond as well. We pray for your blessings as we begin our youth worship shortly. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Okay.
Hi everyone, I'm Lorraine and welcome back to Youth Worship. Christmas is coming very soon, and in fact, preparation has started to take place here in Bethany. Whether it be the singing of Christmas carols at Youth Worship on Sunday, or the lighting of the Advent candles, and even the making of the Christmas decorations at the Special Seniors Program. And we anticipate Christmas with much joy in our hearts. But what is the essence of Christmas? And if someone were to come up to me to ask me what Christmas means, what would I say? So in Matthew 1:23, it reads, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us." Emmanuel, God with us. To me, this is the essence of Christmas. And when I think about how God is with us, I appreciate how it does not just mean that God is in company with us. God with us signifies a very close association that he has with us, so much so that he took upon himself our nature, our human nature. And the Lord of all became human flesh. And being with us in our human nature, God is with us in life's journey. So he was a child under his parents' care, just like most of us here are. And he faced challenges, especially during ministry, just like how we all face challenges sometimes. And if you've ever been alone, so was he when he was in the wilderness and when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And to me, the Lord with us means so much because of this close association that he has with us. And wherever I find myself in life's journey, he has been there before me. And not only that, he continues to be with me presently. And I find great assurance in knowing that he is near, no matter what I go through in life. So the first song, Emmanuel, speaks of how the Lord came to be with us that first Christmas. And the close association that he has with us can be seen in verse 2. So he came down from earth, to earth from heaven, and he lived on earth with the poor and the scorned and the lowly. And we rejoice this Christmas because he came to us. So since this is a relatively new song, we will take the first verse and the first chorus first, and then we will take the song from the start. Thank you for your fine singing. So I'm thankful that the Lord has come to be with us, and knowing that he has drawn near, have I prepared any room in my heart for the Lord? And I realized that a lot of things take up space in my heart, and the things that occupy space in my heart are dependent on what I'm experiencing during that particular stage in my life. So over the past few months, things in school, as well as life challenges, have been taking up quite a lot of my head space and heart space. And there were several times during the semester that I coped by busying myself with the rigors of school. And these were challenges like finding out on news that a loved one was ill, or when things didn't go as expected in terms of my graduation plans. So we've all had our fair share of challenges this year. For those who took their major exams, congratulations on finishing. And and you might have faced some rigors and stress from the papers that came. And for those who experience changes at work or in school, maybe adaptation was difficult. And even after we've come to the end of the year, and maybe these challenges have passed, the year before us brings about new challenges. So these challenges are real, and sometimes they leave very little room in our hearts for anything else. So how do we go about preparing our hearts for the Savior? And in the next song, it gives us an answer. So our next song is All You Are, and it first speaks of a hollow in our hearts. So as I began to let life's challenges fill my heart, it actually hollowed out my heart because there was a lot of helplessness and hopelessness. The song recognizes that only the Lord can fill this void in our hearts. And there is a hope in not only knowing that He is Emmanuel, God with us, but He is also all we ever need. He is love that we have longed for, the peace we've searched to find, and the hope that we have hungered for. So I am challenged to prepare my heart for Christmas by recognizing that God is all that I ever need as I grapple with the challenges that I face. And let us seek to prepare our hearts for the Lord this Christmas. So if you're referring to the bulletin on page 8, the third word of the second verse should be hole, H-O-L-E, instead of hope. Or you can just refer to the screen here. So with that, let's take our next song together.
After a long time, God graciously spoke to Jacob and allayed all his fears with his promises. Jacob then took all his descendants and possessions to Egypt. So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to God of his father Isaac. Then God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here I am." So he said, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again. And Joseph will put his hand on your eyes."
Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones and their wives, in the carts which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. So they took their livestock and their goods, which they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and went to Egypt, Jacob and all his descendants with him, his sons and his sons' sons, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his descendants he brought with him to Egypt.
Thank you, ladies, for reading the scriptures. Have you ever felt discouraged in your spirit and far from God? I believe many of us have felt this way before. The problem of being discouraged in our spirit and being distant from God is one that affects all of us, regardless of how old we are or how long we have been Christians. We see this problem in the example of Jacob. Last week, we have been learning about his life. And this past few months, actually, we saw how he had come to faith in the Lord and even experience special moments with God, such as Genesis 32. But we also saw last week how his spirit was so badly affected from the day that he learned that his favorite son, Joseph, died. And his spirit had remained dead for all the years that Joseph was not around. And it only took the news that his son was actually alive that his spirit was revived. Joseph's example shows us that we too can go through moments in our life where we can be discouraged and down in our spirit. It could be the stress of exams, as what Jared shared in the newsletter inside the bulletin, or poor exam results, or even relationship problems that we face. And sometimes these things can truly affect our spirits, and we just find it hard to find our way back to God. Our encouragement this afternoon is to not let ourselves be stuck in a rut like that, and to turn to the Lord for that revival. The only one who can truly give us that is the Lord himself. So my prayer this afternoon is for the Lord to revive our spirit and for him to turn our hearts back to him. Let us go to God in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this afternoon, humbly recognizing how we need your help to revive our spirit. We recognize that problems in life can truly affect us badly, and it can cause us to be discouraged and to be far from you. We pray that you'll grant us that revival and you'll turn our hearts back to you and find that revival and refreshing of the Spirit that we so badly need. We pray and ask for your grace. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, we are going to take our Bibles open, and I'm going to keep the Bibles open to a number of places today, all right? Well, the text that is read for us in Genesis 46, now let's quickly look at it first, and then we read in verse 2, then God spoke to Israel, right? Now, that's the text is, God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night. Then the Lord said, Jacob, wait a minute. God spoke to Israel and called him Jacob. How does that work? Now, this is important for us because this is something that we want to take a look at. So let's study this very carefully, the context of this particular chapter. And then I'm going to take you back to Genesis 32, Genesis 35, to understand the significance of this particular word that is there. Okay, well, let's look at it very carefully. First, those of you who, you know, go on holiday trips, what are the things you need to prepare for most? Always check your passport. I mean, I've seen people go up to the plane, oh yeah, I forgot to bring passport, go down there and miss the plane. That can happen. Or that's something that is, okay, we need to check. All right, you've got to bring your wallet, you know, bring some money, and, some clothes and all that. If you don't have enough, you can always buy something, but certain things you can't, passport you can't. Obviously, that's going to be important. In those days, no passport. What do you think is the most important thing to do if you were Jacob going down to Egypt? Now, that is interesting to see, right? Let's take a look. So Israel took his journey and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father, Isaac. Now, that is the point of it all. Did he really, really begin in prayer and worship? Actually, no. It's sort of, oh yeah, I forgot. I better. You know, sometimes you all do the same thing, right? You're so hungry, you look at the food, you eat first, and I forgot to pray. I think that some of you, sorry, Lord, okay, thank you, bye. And then we start eating. That can happen. So don't laugh at Jacob so much. That happens to us from time to time too. Right? Now, watch this. So along the way, a lot of things began to float backwards. right? For example, hey, I haven't made any sacrifice yet. This is a long journey. This is maybe my last journey. What happens if I die along the way? I think better get it right first. And so he offered worship. That kind of unfortunate, right? But watch this very carefully because it's going to be very, very important for us to understand. God is not going to tell you, hey, wake up, worship me. He's not. How come he started all over again? All right, so let's look back a little bit. Okay? So let's look at Genesis 32 first. Let's go all the way back there. Right? In Genesis 32, when did he pray? How did he pray? When he was very scared of seeing Esau. Right? He's afraid Esau will be still angry with him and, Esau might kill him, make him into a red stew. I mean, he was scared that Esau will do him in, obviously. And so he prayed. And God said to him, verse 38, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. What a wonderful change of name. Right? Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore. It shall be called Israel. You have struggled hard. You have prevailed. Wonderful. Well, then came the horrible incident, right? When his daughter, Dinah, was raped. And it was a fearful time. Two brothers of Dinah, Simeon and Levi, attacked the Canaanites and, killed a lot of people in the city. Hamor and Shechem. And it was a terrible time. And so he had to flee, and there he prayed once again. This time, he is scared. What if the enemies make a reprisal and they attack? We'll all be killed. Again, fear. And once again, God said to him, now this is very important, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore. Israel shall be your name. Twice. And then God said to him, now, Genesis 46, and he said, what did God say? Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore. It shall be called Israel, Genesis 32. Again, no more Jacob, Israel, Genesis 35. Genesis 46, Jacob. You think God has forgotten the name that he gave to Israel? No, God has not forgotten. Jacob has forgotten. Can you imagine? All this while, silence. Right? We talk about Esau's family. We talk about how Joseph is 17 years old. God began to speak to him in dreams and visions and all that. Nothing about Jacob. For years on end, nothing. No communication, no sacrifice made, no prayer offered, nothing significant turned out for all these years until we read last week, his spirit revived, right? So all this time, his spirit was just as dead as a dodo. It was just unable to respond, to relate to God in any significant way. I mean, it was all that bad, seriously. Right? Now, this is something that we want to think about very, very carefully. So if God had called him Israel, Israel, how would that fit? It wouldn't. Because Israel's name is a princely name. It's a name of victory. It's a name of prevailing prayer. It's a victory. Your name is a change. Right? From the old Jacob to the new Israel. But if God were to call him Israel now, it would not be correct. Why? Because he was not Israel. He was as Jacob as he could be. So God called him correctly, Jacob, Jacob. Can you see this? Now, how do we know this is what it is? God has to literally reintroduce himself to Jacob. Oh, by the way, Jacob, I am God. Hello? Do you know who I am? I am the God of your father. Oh boy, it's that bad. Can you see the relationship problem? It was so strained, it was barely existing. It was just barely discernible, literally. Right? Now, this is a big problem. Let's say you have a I print a copy of my notes and then I print it once. It comes out straight, okay. Now, if I print on this one, again, it will be fainter. If I print on the copy that I copied, it will be even fainter. But if I copied for many years, hardly anything done, you go and copy, you will have hardly anything at all. So God has to reintroduce himself all over again. And so when God called him Jacob, Jacob, and he said, here I am. He's come a long way from the old Jacob to new Israel, twice over, now goes all the way back. Now, this is Israel's history. God called the prophets, would say, you are so bent on backsliding. This is backsliding in the worst possible way, all the way back to Jacob's time. Now, that was a big problem. Right? Now, I hope you understand what it is. So this time, it took this worship, it's going into Egypt. Right? Now, he knows, and this is where it will probably be his last journey. And this worship of the Lord has not been done for the longest time. Right? Now, this is important. He was the God of his father, Isaac. Now, that is kind of a sad reality. He has to say all of these things here so personally and so blatantly. Okay, what is the first problem? Okay, one. Do not fear. Now, you begin to realize that all along Jacob's life, the dominant word in his life is actually fear. Do you realize this? He's fearful. He's not going to inherit anything significant. So he's trying to grab it. Then he's fearful as he makes his journey out to a land that he does not know. Then he's fearful whether he's enough to eat, enough clothes to put on. Then he's fearful of returning to see his brother. Then he's fearful of being attacked by the Canaanites in the country. All his life, it has been fear. Now he's going to Egypt. While he's happy to think that Joseph may be alive, but he's not sure. He's getting older now. He's not sure whether he'll make the journey and nothing but fear. And so God has to address the first problem in his life. It has always been a long-standing problem, fear. I think a lot of us have this problem of fear in our life, pretty long-standing too, right? Fear of whatever. Fear of the dark, fear of the devil, fear of evil, fear of failing, fear of the future. Basically, we have a big problem called fear. And God has to address that fear. Do not fear. I think that's important. Even going down to Egypt, it's fearful. Now, you may not know this as a reality, but usually when people become older and older, even go out in the market or so, they don't want to go.
Seriously, they're scared they will fall down. They're scared of problems. They're scared of getting COVID. They're scared of a lot of these things here. But that can happen. I had an uncle who was scared of getting COVID. But he didn't step out of his house for 2 years. But he still got COVID. Now, how did that happen? The person who delivers the food to you may have COVID and pass it. You also don't know. Anyway, he really, unfortunately, he had COVID because even though he was fearful. Fearful does not protect you. Right? It's God who will protect you, not fear itself. So even if you are careful so that you are not so fearful, you still don't know. How do you know the cart won't fall apart? How do you know you won't meet with marauders along the way? How do you know? How do you know? A lot of things you don't know. And the Lord has to come in. Jacob, do not fear to go down to Egypt. Wow. Now, this is important. So the Lord has to address the fear first. Okay? Now, this is important. Then we have a series of I will. Wow, that is important. This series of I will creates a sense of hope inside the heart. Now, remember, we talk about coming alive, right? But coming alive, revived with what? You can come alive for all the wrong reasons. Right? Now, this is important. When I was unwell for a little while, now 2 weeks, you know, ever since the day I got unwell, I can't stand the smell of coffee. Right? 1 week passed, no coffee. 2nd week passed, no coffee. I'm going in my 3rd week, still no coffee. So I know that I'm not totally well yet. Right? Until the day I can take coffee again, I don't know when. But I know, they say, listen, but what is this thing that we are talking about? God said, I will. Now watch the series of I will that will bring hope to the heart of Jacob. Remember, it's Jacob, not Israel. So God is addressing the old Jacob that was there. The old Jacob was a fearful man. The old Jacob was, you know, indecisive. Old Jacob is not the prevailing in prayer person. Right? So we see old Jacob was there. As the Lord has to do. Okay, one, do not fear. Now, watch how he comes back. I will make of you a great nation there. Wow. This is not the first time he said that, right? Remember, he said earlier to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, I will make of you a great nation. So this is rekindling old faith. So when we want to talk about the whole idea of coming alive, right, you've got to watch how it works, right? First, now if there's a lot of fear, we need to rekindle old faith. Now, what is old faith? It could be your beginning faith. It's your initial faith. Now, this is something that you must begin with. Do I have an old faith? Do I have a beginning faith? With time, it becomes old faith. Now, this is where it starts. Don't give up on that old faith. God promised him once, I will make you a great nation. He's going to say that again. This is how God is rekindling his old faith up. Now, so start somewhere. Begin that faith. Hold fast to it. Don't let it go. God is going to make it come alive first. All right, now, next part of it. Watch this. Okay, now this is a wonderful promise. I will go down with you to Egypt. Wow. See, can you see this? I will go down with you to Egypt. What a wonderful thing this is. I will go down with you. What's the best thing you can have? Who's your best traveling companion? The Lord himself. I will go down with you to Egypt. All right? Now, remember, all his grandchildren are there, right? His children are there. Which of the children will sit with him? No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. Simeon, Levi, no, thank you. Reuben, forget it. How about the other? The Lord said, none. What about the grandchildren? Nobody mentioned. There's only one son for Jacob, and he's Egypt. Right? And God said, I will go down with you to Egypt. What a wonder. Can you see this? So that's rekindling old faith. That's one. Okay? Now, as you build a fire, you put in some new logs. Right? You make the fire going. Keep the fire going. New log. Hey, listen, I will go down with you to Egypt specifically. You're going afraid, Egypt? Don't worry. I will go down with you to Egypt. Wow. Okay? Now, watch this. This is a very interesting. I will also surely bring you up again. Wow. Now, supposing along the way, Jacob changes his mind. Okay, supposing Jacob, well, I really don't like Egypt very much. I don't like the weather. I don't like the Egyptian bread. I don't like anything Egyptian there. Can I come back? But the Lord himself says, I will bring you back if you want to come back. But what it really means is for Jacob. See, Jacob, deep down inside him, he does not want to die in a foreign place. He must go back to the land of Israel. And God was basically saying to him, listen, this part of your wish I will also fulfill. I will bring you back to this land. Don't worry about it. Right? Now, sometimes you just think, how come old people worry about all kinds of different things? But old people do. They just fix in the very way they think, in the wishes that they have, and he's afraid, if I go down there, nobody remembers me. I don't like them. They also don't like me. What happens if my bones are going to rot there? And God said, don't worry. I will bring you back to Israel. What a wonderful promise. The second, I will. And then the third, I will. This is how it's going to cause it. God will cause Joseph. He will put his hand on your eyes. Now, that he knows already what's happening, right? You try, if possible, never touch anybody's eyes, okay? You have no idea how dirty their hands are. And until you realize you've got an eye problem, and they will tell you, not only must you wash your hands, you must use alcohol to give it a second cleansing before you even put eye drops. And then we are going to rub our eyes every day. All the wrong things we do. So God is not going to say, you know, your son is going to put eye drop on your eyes, you know. He's not saying that. What does it mean? You know, this is a very, very special thing. Now, it's something that many years ago, we have a church member. She's passed on many minutes. It was in Bethany 1. It was a very old friend, and it's a very, very dear old friend. And then she was in hospital, and I was the one who got her into the hospital, arranged for nurses to look after her, private nurse to look. Last time they had private nurse to look in hospital besides your hospital nurses. So they have day nurse, night nurse, and this was all arranged for her. And we knew that she was dying, and she knew that she was dying. And then the nurse said to me, this lady has passed on. Before she died, she asked you to come. So I said, okay, I'm coming right now. And then the nurse told me, he said, Pastor, you know, her eyes are open. Her eyes are not closed. I said, well, why is that uncommon? He says, no, we must make the eyes close. I said, why don't you make the eyes close? He said, Pastor, I tried. I cannot do it. Right? Now, she asked you to do that. You must do that. Now, I don't think there's any real problem. She said, the nurse said, I tried, you know, I truly tried. I just put her eyes closed and her eyes kept on opening all the refusing to shut. So I said, so I went down there and I, of course, she's already passed on, but I did tell her that I was there. And I told her, you know, the nurse said, your eyes won't close. Now, you've gone to be with the Lord. I'm going to close your eyes. Now, this is Joseph who put his hand on your eyes. So I did just that. Put my hand on the eyes and close the eyes. And the nurse was there and she was shocked because the eyes remained shut. That was very, very special to me. So there's an old saying in China, an old Chinese saying, the one who closes the eyes of the person is one whom the person loves. And this is an old, old lady whom I love very much as well. And I was privileged to look after her, care for her, and then close her eyes for her. So this verse spoke to my heart very, very, very much. Joseph, none of the sons will ever come close to Jacob like this. But Jacob will now have his son Joseph, he has not seen for the longest time. He will be there, and God said, he will close your eyes for you. Now, what is this all about to us today? Now, I want to share this with you because there are lots of things that we can learn from this particular lesson. Not about closing anybody's eyes, okay? So really, please, don't worry about the things like that. Don't say this to your mom and dad. Ma'am, I will close. I don't say that to them, right? Because you will come out wrong way. Right? So this is not how that works. But what does it mean? To me, this story is very, very, very special. Number one. All right. Remember, we talk about how the Lord revived. To be revived is only the start. What needs to be done after you are revived? It's a key word, is to restore. Now, I hope you understand. Let us say that we are revived, but we are not restored in our relationship. What do we have? Nothing. Right? Now, in the New Testament, we call that reconciliation. But it is a very, very special word where we are reconciled or restored to God in fellowship and in faith. This was what was missing. Jacob may be alive once again in his spirit, but he did not pray yet. He did not worship yet. God was waiting for him. Will you worship? Will you seek me? That's restoration. Can you see this? Now, this is very important. Restoration must be what we call old faith. Now, this is important. It's because if we don't have, we only are revived, but our relationship with God is not restored. What do we have? Just alive. Not good enough. This is part of the continuing story. God has to restore that relationship first. Right? It's a faith relationship that must be there. Now, that's vital. Now, the second part of it is that there must be restored fellowship. Where almost it's like beginning all over again. God says, I am your God, the God of your father, Isaac. Can you see? So it's a restoration of fellowship where God literally almost has to reintroduce himself to us. And this is where God brings us back to what he said earlier. I will make of you a great nation. Don't lose hope. Two, present. I will go with you. Until the day you die. Right? And I know that you want your son to be there to close your eyes. And I am going to make it happen. Now, this is restoration. Can you see this? So revival was only the beginning. The next challenge is to see whether there could be a restoration of faith, a restoration of fellowship, a restoration where they begin to communicate with each other once again. And this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. And the challenge for us is to find this kind of restoration that we need to have. Sometimes in our life, we don't know what God is saying to us. So when God calls Jacob, why would God call him Jacob when God was himself the one who told him, your name shall be Israel? You know, one of the most beautiful things is God will start with you all over again, square one. Well, that to me is such a wonderful sense of graciousness and kindness and mercy and loving kindness on God's part. Okay, Jacob, many years, right? So it's not recrimination. Jacob, alamak, what is that? God does not go into that kind of thing. Oh, what a waste, what a waste. It's not going to waste any more time. He's already said the obvious. What a waste is already there. It's already gone, right? Where's the old get up and go? It got up and gone. It's already gone. So no point talking about where's your get up and go. It's not there anymore. So let's go back to Jacob. Will God go all the way back to when we first started? Wonderfully, graciously, the answer is yes. Now, this is where I want to encourage you. Find a real faith in God. Doesn't matter where you start. Even if you fail completely, go back to where you were, where you began, your first time there, and God was real to you and precious to you. That's where God will meet you. He will restore your faith. He will restore your fellowship. He will restore. And this is where a new sense of vital friendship of the Lord will be there with you. I will go with you. All the way to Egypt and back. Right? I'm going to be there all the way through. Even in a small matter like closing your eyes one last time, your son will do that. Wow. That's kind of a wonderful promise to be able to say that. And this is your challenge. Now, you may say, well, you know, this is all very, very, all very well and good. How does that apply to your life? It can. But first, you must establish, do I have a real personal faith in God? So let's say that along the way, too many exams, been a tough year, COVID time, lot of problems, and it's not been great. Can I be restored? Yes, begins with revival. The restoration will come. Remember this, right? And the Lord will renew your faith and fellowship, and then you can resume again. That would be it. Now, this is your challenge now. Take it up from here. Resume. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? Well, we will carry on with that. Coming Monday, we start our youth conference. Over 60 of you are coming, and that's good. Look out for the new ones coming in. Say hello to them. Encourage each other. Be open to anything that you may learn along the way. Let the Lord restore. Let the Lord renew. Let the Lord resume your faith, friendship with Him. That really would be wonderful. Think about this. Okay, well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this story of how Jacob was not only revived, but restored, and that he was renewed in faith and in fellowship, and then he could resume that walk with you once again. Help us to understand how this can apply to us. And Father, we confess to you that we are not the most faithful of people. Along the way, we get distracted, we fall away, and we pray that you will first revive our hearts, renew our faith, help us to be restored, and then to be challenged to resume our walk with you. We pray for your blessings on the youth conference coming right up. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, I really hope that you will be challenged to consider looking at a time of special renewal, restoration, Youth Conference Week coming up, right? And I'm looking forward to seeing you all on Monday, and have a wonderful weekend, and let's resume our own further personal development and growth of faith and life, right? The Lord's blessings.